This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Other question. We understand your wife has hired a lawyer to represent her in a possible probe into a land deal that fell apart. This was back when she was president of Burlington College.
No, it was not when she was... Let me say a word on that. You know,
yeah. Well, I just want to ask you, do you know she's under FBI investigation?
Excuse me. My wife is about the most honest person I know. Mm-hmm. When she came to that college, it was failing financially and academically. When she left it, it was in better shape than it ever been. 5 years later, just at the moment, coincidentally, no doubt, when I am a candidate for president of the United States, Donald Trump's campaign manager, a vice chairman of the Republican Party in Vermont, launched this investigation. So all that I will tell you now, Aaron, it is a sad state of affairs in America, not only when we have, you know, politicians being destroyed, public, when there are attacks against elected officials, when you go after your wife, people's wives. That is pretty pathetic. And that's where we are right now. That's about all that I'm going to say.
That's all he's got to say about that. So, you know, he kind of not addresses it, Scott.
So the question was, is she under investigation? Do we know yet?
Well, of course, it's the political dodge of what it is. Okay, you know, did a great job, but, you know, that's not the issue. You know, that wasn't the question, whether or not she did a good job or a bad job. You know, we've got to, you know, you've been following the money here. Was there a misappropriation that had taken place? Of course, I don't expect you, you know, to admit to anything like that. But he needs a better response than a deflection, an obvious deflection. And also that we know that Jane Sanders has hired a high-powered attorney to protect her interests. A reporter for Fox News is, according to The Hill, asked Sanders Monday if he still thought the probe into his wife was politically motivated now that other news outlets have reported on the investigation. And of course, he says, well, I'm glad you're interested in the fact that the Republican leadership is proposing legislation which would throw millions of people off of health insurance. That was his deflection there in answering that question. Of course, you could tell, you know, he was none too happy, you know, that he was getting looked into. So the burn is filling the burn, as they would say. So We'll see what happens with that investigation. I mean, it's almost like, you know, that's part of the, you know, right of entry, I guess, in the Beltway is you got to be investigated. You've got to be significant enough that people would even care to want to know anything about you. And, and of course, for Bernie, he's blaming this all on the Republicans. Well, you know, maybe you need to take a look at some things. And that's what always happens, you know, when you get caught. You know, like you said, Scott, before, you know, what are you upset about? More that you got caught or that, or that you actually did something wrong? And it's more because they happened to get caught with something. And you would think by now all politicians need to understand is that people are going to keep an eye on the money. You cannot. I mean, you have a lot of flexibility with all that money coming in. There is a tremendous amount of flexibility. If you broke it down, you'd be surprised what these politicians are able to do. And maybe that's, you know, one of the reasons, just saying, that if you consider what their net income is or their net value before they come into office versus when they leave office, they become millionaires at the people's expense, basically. And I don't know how they do that in good conscience. You know, and that's something that you can't expect Congress, anybody in Congress to look into. You know, this is why we appreciated so much Peter Schweitzer's book of several years back, Throw Them All Out, because this is the first kind of look into the whole business of being a politician in America today. He pulled back the curtain and you saw the crony capitalism reported in hard numbers. And you got to know there was a lot of credibility to it because you didn't hear a lot of refutation on it, did you? This is Bill Martinez. We're live 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Everybody 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us. This is Bill Martinez coming at you live as usual. For more information, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop us an email, let us know. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. There's a book out that has been out since spring, and interesting time for it to come out because at a time that we know spring to be a time for love and you know, marriage and all those good times, the fact of the matter is our culture is having a war with marriage. And Dr. Diane Medved is with us, and it's good to be talking to her again. It has been, ever since I've known her, her passion has been, she's been a warrior for marriage and fighting for marriage on behalf of our families, on mothers and fathers. And she's had an excellent study and research on why we shouldn't divorce, why we need to go counter the culture. And her brand new book is called Don't Divorce: Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage. Dr. Diane Medved, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you.
Diane Medved is a clinical psychologist, a columnist for USA Today, author of 5 previous books, so this is her 6th. Her groundbreaking, The Case Against Divorce, back in 1989, challenged the consensus that divorce is a healthy remedy for troubled marriages. A mother of 3 grown children, she's been married for 33 years to one of my old friends that I've known for a long time and worked with in Los Angeles for many years, syndicated radio talk show host Michael Medved. This book was a must-write book for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, because in the years since I did The Case Against Divorce, marriage and divorce have both changed radically. In fact, there's even less nowadays to keep people together or to make them think marriage is important than there was 20 years ago, because we've now got gay marriage, which redefined things in a direction it was going anyway, which is marriage is now about feelings, about love for somebody, about how it's going moment to moment, and not about a lifetime commitment. And so I needed to refocus our aims toward a lifetime family project rather than the idea that, you love each other, that's all it takes, which also means if you don't love each other, that's all it takes for divorce.
Exactly. Well, we've been off course for quite a while, and of course that got punctuated with added confusion of what marriage is and what it is not. And it seems that we found ourselves in that recurring theme as seeing marriage through our own eyes.
Well, absolutely. Again, the whole thing now is feelings. You've got my phone, my Verizon, my iPhone. Everything is me, me, me. So if you're looking mainly at yourself, then you're not looking to be part of a couple. And the thing is, nowadays, the marriage rate, the average age for marriage also, has gone up. There are fewer people getting married. And because of that, they're all putting time, effort, and money into themselves. The investment is yourself first. For example, you go to grad school. You then stay on your parents' Obamacare plan until you're 26. You get your own place. You get it all set up. Nobody needs a bridal shower anymore because they've already been living in their own apartment for years. So in other words, it's me first, and then you might think about adding marriage onto that as a plus if you find somebody you love. But it's not considered the basis of life as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. For you, you and Michael married over 30 years now. I'll ask you, what is your secret?
Well, you know, part of the main thing that I had to teach him, you can't believe this because this is sort of deep, dark secret, but as a talk show host...
You're hearing it first right here, ladies and gentlemen, exclusively. This is going to haunt Michael later.
He does talk about it now. But, you know, he was able to talk about politics. He's able to talk about just about anything. He's a polymath. He knows music. He knows art. He knows everything. But what he didn't know was how to express his feelings to somebody. Mm. And being a therapist, I was able to help with that. And so I basically had to teach him, as many husbands need to learn, is how to talk about your feelings and your aspirations and your thoughts and the things that bug you to another person. And so the more he talked, the better our relationship got. And that's what intimacy is for women, you know. For men, it's sex. For women, it's talk. It's finding out what's going on in your life and what's going on in your thinking and where are you headed and where have you been. So that I would say is the biggest secret for any good marriage.
Yeah, I was talking to one guy. You'd appreciate this, Diane. She'd been married for 62 years. And, of course, anybody married an extended period of time, I have to ask them that question, you know, what is your secret? Oh, she goes, oh, Sonny, she says, I learned a long time ago it's better to be loved than to be right. I thought that
Absolutely.
Was quite wise.
In fact, that's one of the things. I have an epilogue in my book, Don't Divorce, about two things that you can do as an experiment to see if you can ever get your marriage back on track. And the first one is winning by letting go. And that's exactly what this woman was saying to you. You can win by letting go. You can choose not to be right. And that will take you a long distance toward the goodwill of your spouse.
Well, we're going to make this into a little bit of a therapy session, not for me directly, but I appreciate where Michael's coming from and the dynamic of sex and intimacy. Because guys, for the most part, you know, we don't want to upset the potential of having sex by being open with a woman. Because if we're open, then she may perceive what we're doing, and now all of a sudden it's become a tedious process here.
Well, not just a tedious process. Suddenly she's thinking, hey, he only wants me for sex.
Right, exactly.
And so
this is a vicious circle, isn't it?
Well, ironically, the more you open up, the more willing a woman is going to be to share her entire self, including sex.
Right. So and a guy as well, if he feels that, hey, look, I can have a safe conversation with my wife and it not turn into a battle or an argument, but it allows an expression, because just as much as a woman wants to be expressive and understood, a man, from my perspective, you know, feels the same way.
Absolutely. In fact, at the end of my book, I talk about five unique benefits of marriage. And the last one is that marriage is the only place where you can actually create a soulmate. And a lot of people misdefine what soulmate is. They think it's somebody who they feel really good with. But to be a real soulmate means you have to have invested your time and the challenges of your life and gone through things together so that then you are so aligned you have a shared history as well as a shared hope. Mm-hmm. For the future. And so that's how you make the soulmate, is by opening up your soul to the other person and accepting him or her for who they are and being that person's number one cheerleader.
Yeah, so don't you love that when people early on, they've been married for 2 weeks, oh, I found my soulmate.
And those are people who you worry about, because if it doesn't feel that same way in a few weeks, then is it going to be as good?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I'm reminded of what the Word says. The Bible says in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And as I read into that, that finding wasn't just by happenstance, it was a discovery. It speaks of the process, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and that's why people in a marriage that's having problems, where they're not liking each other, where they're not able to communicate, they shouldn't just give up, because they have to realize it's a process of getting through these things and finding new strategies for addressing the way that you communicate. And that's the thing, is that people think, oh, it's always going to be this way. Probably the most reassuring study that I have among hundreds of them mentioned in my book is one that shows that people who are unhappily married, 5 years later, if they just stick it out, they say they're happily married.
Yes.
That's 3/4 of people in one study and 2/3 in another study. Long-term, big, massive studies of people in marriages. The unhappily married who stick it out become happy.
That really turns those statistics around, doesn't it? We've got to take a break here. We're talking with Dr. Diane Medved. Her book, Don't Divorce. Stay with us, America. More coming up right after.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lautinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
Time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to
go? Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get it all.
I'll get him.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com. Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
We're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Dr. Diane Medved continues. Her book, Don't Divorce, Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage. Diane, you know, as you were saying before the break, oftentimes people realize down the road after a divorce, if they'd have hung in there. I think the other ironic thing, at least in my observation, I don't know why, maybe because when I was in the Marine Corps, I took a lot of Marines to Truth or Consequences. I don't remember the Bob Barker show.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
one of the episodes that they would have continuously was that they'd have a Marine coming back from Vietnam, and he would be involved in a skit, seemingly by happenstance. And during the skit, his wife would come, you know, would be part of it. And mm-hmm. there'd be this nice surprise that was really warm and fuzzy. But all that to tell you is that Bob Barker, on my final show that I did with him, you know, thanked me and said, yeah, Bill's going to go, and he's leaving the Marine Corps to become a marriage counselor. And, you know, so if nothing else by observation, have a lot of sympathy and a very much a student of marriage. And what I have found that people end up when they get divorced, they end up marrying their previous wife, sometimes directly, sometimes in another person, but the attributes are still the same, which tells me that what we need unconsciously, our conscious goes out and gets, maybe in another form, but there's something, some quality that we must experience in the marriage dynamic, and God is going to be sure somehow we learn that process, but we sure definitely make it more difficult when you're dealing with the second and third wife.
Well, I think that there are statistics that show that the prognosis for subsequent marriages is not as good, although there is contravailing evidence as well, because people can learn from their mistakes. It isn't always that your first marriage is going to be bad and there goes your second and third and fourth. Mm-hmm. It's true that there are some people who are not good spouses. They don't learn from their mistakes. They have personality traits that they cling to even though it's the destruction of their lives. Mm-hmm. But that isn't everybody. There are a number of people who are on their second marriages who have learned the things that they knew that they should have had in the first place.
Right.
Or maybe they found the right person and the first one wasn't. So, you know, we say that in Jewish tradition, we say that the first spouse that you have is who you pick. The mm-hmm. second spouse that you have is the one that you earn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you earn it by your experience. And if you don't earn it, then that means that you haven't taken advantage of what's there for you, of mm-hmm. what's available to learn from going through experiences.
And then you're like Liz Taylor and you're on your ninth or whatever number she finished up with.
Yeah, she believed in marriage, didn't she?
She did. Well, it was the rice party, I think. I'm not sure, you know, just saying. but to your point regarding the statistics that you point out and don't divorce, 30% of first marriages end in divorce, 69% second marriage, you mentioned just a moment ago, 73% of third marriages end in divorce. So to your point, it doesn't get better. It's like once you've programmed yourself that divorce is acceptable, it's easier the second and third time.
Well, again, some of those statistics are sort of counter-indicated in other research, but that's the statistics that you're going to come across. And unfortunately, when you think that you're getting married a third time and 73% of marriages are going to break up, then you expect it to happen to you.
Yeah,
if you're going to expect it, then you're certainly not going to put extraordinary effort into saving it. And I think every marriage that someone invests in is worth that effort. There's no reason why you have to get divorced three times. I mean, you can't pick three losers unless you're a loser yourself. And that means that you've got to be introspective, not looking to the other person as the source of your problem.
You got to stop marrying, okay? You've done enough damage. Stop it, okay? I want to talk about your National Review op-ed that you wrote, Three Biggest Divorce Magnets, What to Avoid in a Pro-Divorce Society, Diane.
Well, yeah, the first thing is that we have to realize that a pro-divorce message is everywhere, that you're going to find it even in places where you think people are going to be the opposite. In other words, in an effort to be supportive to you, therapists, friends, family, they're not going to tell you that you're wrong when you may be wrong about being dissatisfied with your spouse. What they're going to do instead is funnel you via the divorce industry toward a decree. And so you need to be aware that the non-judgmental nature of our culture is not going to be a safety net for your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fight that and you need to go against the culture and your friends, family, and therapists, if need be, in order to see that marriage is valuable. So being aware of that is extremely important. A second thing is sex. Sex is everywhere except where it should be, which is marriage. And when you're having a bad time with your spouse, that's when you don't feel like having sex with him or her. And that's where sex should be. And so instead, what people do is they have as close as their cell phones the ability to try Tinder. You know, swipe right. It's become a cliche in our culture. Swipe right. That means you've got sex available 24/7. Well, just knowing that that sex is available, even if you don't have Tinder as downloaded as an app, just knowing that you could is something that pressures you against your marriage toward dissatisfaction. Because if you're not feeling good about yourself, then you might want that validation, and that can just destroy the trust that you have in your relationship.
Yeah, if you're tempted to swipe right, I'm going to tell you, swipe left. Go find some Bible verses to counter that thought, because the price you will pay for violating your marriage is beyond what you could imagine.
That's also, it's true also for porn. Porn is equally available. Right. And it's said, at least it's just, statistics show that 80% of young men under 30 have partaken on a regular basis in porn. And what that does is objectify women, make the women in your life look bad by comparison, perhaps, and also make sex not connected to love. And so I think we have to identify porn as a major problem in our culture. It's not just harmless relaxation, as many people like to dub it. It's really something that works against any solidity in your marriage, especially because most guys don't want to tell their women about it. They don't want to say to their wife, yeah, what'd you do today? Well, I spent a couple hours watching porn.
Right.
That's going to divide the couple. So recognize that, and that's especially when, if you're going to do something for recreation, pick up the Bible.
Well, you know, and as you say, not only an attack on women, but on men. I mean, you know, pornography is going, you know, both ways. It's, you know, women are involved in pornography at alarming numbers, shocking numbers when you look at it, and you go, wow, you didn't even think that was, you know, considered. You thought maybe it was just a male-generated thing, but it part of it stems from our own identity and how we perceive others. If we're perceiving others through our own eyes as opposed to, you know, God's creation made in his image, I mean, you know, you got to think about who you're violating here. Your father-in-law is God himself on both sides. And so you're running, I think, into really dire territory here if you want to offend the creator of heaven and earth.
Well, of course. I mean, the human body was made, you know, as soon as we understood the difference between good and evil, that's when we put on clothes.
Yeah, what does that tell you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Pretty crazy. And still that same lie that came from the Garden of Eden still continues through the millennia to this day. Did God really say? And this is why in the culture it's so easy to question if God really meant what he said. And you would think by now the evidence is so clear, Diane. Why are we kicking at the goat?
Well, I think the thing is free will. You know, we have choices. And on the one hand, we've got good choices in front of us. But the body seems to be more powerful than the mind and the spirit in many of these occasions because, again, feelings and emotions trump logic. That is one of the basic messages of my book, Don't Divorce, is that you have to realize that feelings and emotions are going to trump logic, and that's why you have to take the bull by the horns and control it. Self-discipline is one of the most valuable talents and virtues that you can cultivate.
Diane, we got to wrap things up, sadly. I say sadly because this is really good stuff, and this is a reason why people should be encouraged, you know, to get their hands on your book, which is available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. So, in summary, Don't Divorce, Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage. I'm going to let you wrap it up for us.
Well, I was going to say the audiobook is also available on my website, DianeMedved.com. You can't get the audiobook anywhere else if you happen to have a big commute, and a lot of people do nowadays. So the audiobook is one thing. Also, pastors, friends, family, if you know anybody who's getting divorced, I think you're going to need some ammunition, and that's where I step in, is the idea there's nothing in our culture that says divorce is a terrible thing unless you look for it. And so we have to shake people by the shoulders and let them know that there is an alternative to tearing apart their families and causing their children ongoing pain. There are alternatives and there is support, and I hope you'll take advantage of it.
Dr. Diane Medved, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Diane. Appreciate it.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go to your phone. Because if you give us a call right now, you'll be able to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling minicpap.com, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. That's 1-800-441-9833.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy. They mean something. Bill Martinez live.
Sometimes when things work, they really work, and they're absolutely brilliant, and I had nothing to do with it. I want you to know this. Scott, who handles the mothership in Minnesota for us, just knows how to come up with the right bumper music. And, of course, our imaging expert out of Los Angeles, Big Wave Dave, for that, I thank you very much. Perfect timing, because we are going to talk about Gettysburg in a big way here. We have an author, Tom McMillan, is with us. And his brand new book, Gettysburg Rebels, Five Native Sons Who Came Home to Fight as Confederate Soldiers. Tom McMillan, let's bring you on right now. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Bill, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Hey, good to have you here. The Battle of Gettysburg, a turning point of the Civil War, but the stories of the five soldiers who held the power to alter the battle's results and forever changed the course of U.S. history have gone untold until now. Thank you very much, Tom McMillan.
Well, thank you. It was quite an odyssey.
Well, here it is, Gettysburg Rebels, five Native sons who came home to fight as Confederate soldiers, is the hidden, gripping tale of Gettysburg's five Native sons who abandoned their hometown ties to join the Confederacy, relying on rare Civil War documents and rarely seen historical records. Tom brings the battle's betrayal and bloodshed to life through the eyes of these five Gettysburg Rebels. Tom, how did you come across this story? When you come across something like this, I mean, that's motivating enough, right, to tell everybody.
It really is. And I live in Pittsburgh, so I live a couple hours from Gettysburg. I've always been fascinated. I've been coming up here for about 25 years. And I actually always wanted to write a book on Gettysburg. There have been so many books, I didn't think I could come up with a fresh topic. I didn't want to rewrite another one. And I had known about two of these guys. The stories are out there a little bit, but no one ever looked into it. And I thought, one day, this might be fascinating. I'm going to look into it. And I found there weren't two, there were five. These guys who grew up in Gettysburg, they moved to Virginia for work in the 1850s, joined militia units, became part of the Confederate Army, and 2 years after the start of the war, were marching on their old hometown. The whole story. To me, you can best teach history through human interest stories. That would work in any war. But the fact that it was the Civil War and the fact that it was Gettysburg made it even more intriguing. I just thought, at the beginning, I didn't know if it was enough for a book, but I just thought I would try to dig into it.
Well, and this gives you a little bit better look in terms of, how the country was divided. And for these men to leave their hometown, and the next thing you know, as you say, they're coming and probably believing that they're liberating Gettysburg, right?
Well, it's certainly for the cause of the Army. I mean, Lee came north. He thought, he'd been winning some battles in Virginia, but thought they couldn't win a battle of attrition. And the only hope was to win a great victory on northern soil and perhaps help the peace movement rise up. That was kind of his founding reasons for conducting the Gettysburg campaign at all. You never know with so much media today, we know so much. You never know how much that trickled down to the ranks, but certainly they realized the impact of what it meant going north. But I just, when they set off on what's now the Gettysburg campaign, they, not even Lee and his commanders, knew they were going to fight at Gettysburg. They were trying to fight somewhere in the north. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it was like for these guys as they started to get close to their hometown and saying,
wow,
I wonder if this is where it's going to be.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit more about their background, Tom, and what motivated them to go south and join the Confederacy.
Well, it was a work reason first. They were involved in the carriage industry, which was big in Shepherdstown, then Virginia, now West Virginia, which is only about 50 miles from Gettysburg. So these guys first went for work. But what happened in the 19th century is there was a militia unit in every town. So that as soon as they got to Shepherdstown or Martinsburg, they joined the militia unit. You got to put on a uniform, carry a gun, and it was a great social outlet. It was commonplace at that time. But both the Union and Confederate armies ended up being based on these local militia units. They often volunteered en masse as a group. So these guys were fighting with their townsmen and their friends. And they went to become, two of them were in the famous Stonewall Brigade. They were Company B of the 2nd Virginia, but these were all guys from Shepherdstown. So those were kind of the basis. That was the basis of both the Confederate and Union armies. And we just have situations where they're fighting with their townsmen, they're fighting with their friends. They'd only lived in the South for 5 years. But even with that, we know there were Northerners who fought for the South and Southerners who fought for the North for a variety of different reasons. But the thing that was different here was just they ended up by quirk of fate in their hometown. And that's what, to me, gave it the impetus to make it a topic worth exploring.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, irony of ironies. But, I think that people underestimate what the local militias, how they were, in a sense, a ready-made military for whatever side they would choose, right?
Yes, I mean, that literally is what happens. These guys, two of the guys who went to Shepherdstown were part of a militia unit local. It was called the Hamtramck Guards, and they became Company B of the 2nd Virginia. It was that good. And that happened in the North. I had ancestors who fought for the North. They were around Pittsburgh. They were all in local militia units around Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And you didn't enlist, I guess you could have, but most didn't enlist individually. You enlisted as a group, and you stayed together. You fought together through the war. So that whole thing of your brother against brother, but you also were fighting with your townsmen, not just your relatives, but your friends and people you grew up with. That was common in both armies, and that's what happened here. But the other thing, Bill, that happened here that really struck me, which I didn't know until I started looking into it, was two of these guys still had immediate family in Gettysburg. Not only that, but during the battle, which took 3 days, two of them actually visited their families.
I was going to say, like, obviously, you're going to come home for dinner, and you're in there in your Confederate outfit, and you're attacking the city, and you got some home cooking.
Yeah, to put that in our minds, or our 21st century minds, it really blew my mind that could have happened. One guy really visited his sister, and the other visited his father. These were at night. It was at night when the heavy fighting had died down. But still, I mean, you're in enemy territory, and
exactly.
Who knows how your siblings are going to react?
Well, and this had to be a tough thing. I mean, here are these guys. I mean, depending on what side you're winning on, you're regarded as a goat or a hero, and to have the moniker of traitor put upon them. And many people, of course, regarded as traitors because they abandoned, as you said, you had people from the North coming to South, people from the South going, and so now you're a traitor to the cause or traitor to your, community. That is a tough deal, but this is the nature of the Civil War.
Yep, absolutely. And, one of these guys, Wesley Culp, his niece ended up, part of my research, I found actually two unpublished family histories. Which provided a lot of details. You know, one's niece had been in, and she said, coming back to town, he would have known, and then later said, he would have known that most of the people were sore at him. So, people were not happy that they had heard that this guy who'd grown up here and they knew was fighting against them. So even that, just coming back with the army, but walking through the town, going to visit your sister, going to visit your father, it was really a surreal situation. And it is, I mean, often this happens in history. It's hard to put us in what we know now in the 20th century in that mindset, in that situation. You try to do it in the book. I hope I achieve that. That's what I try to do. You try to take people back in time. But you try to make it, get on the personal level with these guys and how nerve-wracking that was.
Well, we talk so casually about the Civil War in terms of, a war where you got brother fighting against brother, family members on opposite sides. Boy, this is quite the study and, quite the experience for us, Tom McMillan, to read your book. We've got more from Tom McMillan on the other side of the break. Stay with us. We're talking the Union's Secret Rebels on Bill Martinez Live.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you. And you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The Senior Living Advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez live.
Show the mercy shown to you. Give some kindness to renew. Love from heart and sweet and true. Oh, children come. Oh, children come. Oh, children come.
Bill Martinez live.
Now, pursuing the truth no matter where it leads, because it is that important and vital. It's just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Speaking of the truth, Tom McMillan is with us, the author of the brand new book, Gripping Tale of Gettysburg's Five Rebellious Double Crossers, Gettysburg Rebels, Five Native Sons Who Came Home to Fight as Confederate Soldiers. Earlier, Tommy, we were talking about, you know, a couple of these soldiers, you know, meeting with family, you know, here they are. I mean, you got to imagine what the town must have been like. You know, they just had pushed out the Union Army, and they have, you know, access, and a couple of these rebels are able to knock on the doors of their family members. But this town, I mean, you got people with loaded muskets. They're concerned, you know, what's going to happen here. You know, even though they're knocking on family doors, they're careful to do so because, you know, not all is peaceful, and it's not all controlled by the Confederates. But for, you know, the desire to see family members, they took a shot.
You're taking risk enough. But, yeah, I mean, just think of that. It was a town. But to put, again, we often talk casually about the Civil War. This was a town at that point of about 2,400 people. And a farming center, and all of a sudden, in a day and a half, 160,000 soldiers show up. and just, you know, just the devastation and the carnage that that had wrought. And when Wesley Culp went to visit his sister, it was after the first day's fighting. The Confederates had, in fact, taken over the town. But the town was terrified. And you're right. There were some militia members. There were people with muskets. There were people trying to defend their homes. The citizens, I'm sure, were terrified.
Exactly.
I can't imagine what and the sisters didn't know he was coming. So I can imagine what that knock on the door is. And you see a guy in Confederate uniform, and then you finally realize it's your brother, and you pull him in. And, you know, Wesley's brother fought in the Union Army. We hear the cliche, there really was brother versus brother. He had fought against his brother. But in this case, it was interesting. The sisters dismissed that. They viewed this was still our brother. They welcomed him into their home. I wondered what would happen there, but they were welcoming him. They wanted him to come back. They wanted him to stay overnight. And his brother William, who he fought against, would never speak his name again. So everybody reacted differently to these situations. But I use the word surreal still a lot when I talk about this book. But there really were a number of surreal situations here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also address opposing loyalties in your book. President Lincoln was faced with, he was a man of faith. And I don't know how he would have made it without his commitment, understanding of what, you talk about having this sense of mission from God. Abraham Lincoln, he was a man of prayer, and he was one that did not take these things lightly. And what laid in his lap, I mean, was the future of America. I mean, if he didn't get this right and didn't play this out right, America was going to be a short-lived experiment.
And he was under a lot of pressure. He was highly criticized. With the election in 1860, which really started all this, he only got 40% of the national vote.
Mm-hmm.
But there were four candidates. That was enough to win. He wasn't even on the ballot in a lot of the southern states. The country was starting to be really divided even before the war. The election picked that up. But then, there were opponents in the North, as there are during all wars. I mean, you read about history and the reactions, the public reactions are the same as we see today. There were a lot of people in the North who didn't think we should be involved in the war. They wanted it to end. They wanted a great peace with the South. He saw it through, but that took a lot of fortitude. And, there are a lot of books about there are actually more books about the Confederate Army than there are about the Union Army. The Union Army heroes were quite amazing, and it just played out. In this book, it plays out though at the foot soldier level. These guys fighting against their brothers and their friends from their hometown. It's one thing that I think makes this book a little different is it usually a battle book or a Civil War book is about a general or a Medal of Honor winner. These are just regular guys. Of these five, the men I call Gettysburg Rebels, four of them never rose above the rank of private. One was a sergeant. So these weren't leaders. They were just regular guys in the ranks. So in a way, it's also the view of a war, probably our most defining war from that level.
Exactly.
At least that's what I tried to achieve.
Talk about getting it from the boots, boy. Boots on up here. These Gettysburg Rebels, Tom, what was unique about them? And what was similar about them?
Well, they were young guys. I mean, I often wonder. I raised this question at the end of the book. They had moved in the mid 1850s to Virginia for work. Only 50 miles, but that crossed state borders, and it was from north to south. I wonder what would have happened had they not moved. They probably would have fought for the Union Army. They probably would have fought for their buddies in Gettysburg. Sometimes it was, we can't really know for sure. You can never know someone's motivation, but I think sometimes in the Civil War, when you're fighting against your own countrymen, you're in the same country and all of a sudden the next day you're not.
Yeah.
Afterwards, it struck me though that one of them actually, Wesley Culp was killed in the battle. The one who visited his sisters at home, he was killed, and his body was never found. The other four never returned to the North, although one had to come back to Gettysburg 10 years after the war to sell his father's property. So they're all similar in that they're men of the era, but they were five different personalities. And you can even see, I follow the four who survived. I follow the post-war wives, and they were all completely different. You become your own person. It's amazing to look when they all had become prisoners of war at the end of the war. They all had to sign oaths of allegiance to the United States to be kind of let back into the country as citizens. You look at those oaths of allegiance and you wonder the emotion that went through their minds as they're signing that. You know, for 4 years, they weren't citizens of the country. And then all of a sudden, they were again. They were Americans, then they weren't. They were part of the Confederacy, and then they were, in 1865, they were Americans again, and one of them went on to live until 1920.
Oh, wow. And how do you make that transition, Tom? I mean, you're a Boston Celtic for life, and then all of a sudden you find yourself playing for the Lakers. That's a tough deal, you know.
I think when you read too about Reconstruction, it went better in some areas than others. It was a difficult thing. Some accepted it, some didn't. Some fought it. These guys all went on to have, by all appearance, relatively normal lives. They got jobs. One was a house plasterer, and two of them were farmers, and one of them was in politics. One was a postmaster in their town. They were ingratiated back into their towns. Of course, it was in the old Confederacy, so these were people that they would have fought for. But
yeah, they're not regarded as traitors had they gone to the north, right?
Right, right.
You know, a little bit easier.
Yeah, I only found one incident of coming back when the one man Henry Wentz came back to sell his parents' properties. They're in the deed books in Gettysburg. The other thing, Phil, about you look for this stuff because for nondescript guys, you really have to dig. It's amazing what you can find in the deed books of county courthouses and things like that, and old newspaper advertisements, and old newspaper stories. It really was, for me, it was an odyssey. It wasn't easy to get it. It was kind of piecing it together from all these different sources and trying to find clues of these guys' lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you think also at the conclusion of the war, President Lincoln's decision to allow the South to leave with dignity. They didn't confiscate their guns. They just kind of trusted that they were going to do the right thing, and they were going to allow them to leave and go back home and regroup in a way to where they could live life again as Americans and not as as part of the enemy any longer.
There was a great nobility at Appomattox between Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee on both sides. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons the country, although it had problems and we still have problems, but it's one of the reasons there was a chance for the country to get back together. It could have been much more vindictive in that situation. So I think, Lincoln and Grant had in their vision bringing the country back together. That was always Lincoln's goal.
Without a doubt.
And that in fact, was what happened, although it wasn't easy, and we obviously we're still feeling ramifications of that today, but it when you look at it, it could have been a lot worse. So I really do think that scene in Appomattox Courthouse between those two generals, and obviously with the blessing of the president, there was after 4 years of utter devastation and carnage, there was a sense of nobility to bring it to a conclusion, to a peaceful conclusion.
And as you say, when you've got family members who died, some survived knowing that there was a grave cost here as a result of this civil war. Tom, we got about 30 seconds left. What's the big takeaway that you want for your readers to get from your book?
People sometimes think history is just memorizing dates and monuments. We teach it best with human interest story. I think that's really what I tried to achieve with the book. These guys, just regular guys, a story that we really didn't know, and imagine what that was like to have them come back as foreign invaders in their hometown, in any war, much less the Civil War here in Gettysburg.
Well, Tom McMillan, the author of the book, Gettysburg Rebels, Five Native Sons Who Came Home to Fight as Confederate Soldiers, available at all the usual places and linked in our website.
If food became scarce, would you be able to feed yourself and your family? Have you found some emergency food supplies can cost upwards of $300 for a month's supply? And worst of all, they're packed with chemicals and other unpronounceable ingredients. At NorthwestFork.com, our mission is to provide you with food that's not only healthy and natural, but also affordable. At NorthwestFork.com, for only $127, you can order meals that are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, packaged in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for superior shelf life. For a limited time only, your order ships it's free. But that's not all. Enter promo code PREP10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Call 800-700-2184 today. NorthwestFork.com keeps prices low by buying directly from suppliers in the Pacific Northwest, then passing the savings to you. Go to NorthwestFork.com or call 800-700-2184 for the most cost-effective and healthy food storage solution. That's NorthwestFork.com at 800-700-2184.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson.